This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The doctor was the mother. He stood on a block of ice. Both of them were goldfish. It was the cabin of an airplane. He stabbed him with an icicle. And the horse was named Friday.
No shit. All Sherlock. It's Hey Riddle Riddle. I'm Adol Rifai.
I'm JPC.
And I'm Aaron Keefe.
And boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Bob, we had a baby, it's a boy.
We had a baby, it's a boy, oh boy. JPC, what's another name for a scrotum?
I really hate when you do this.
Mailbag. It's time for a mailbag episode.
It's time for a mailbag episode, yes.
I'm going to be light in this one.
Yeah, I think I might be a light. I think I might be light in this one as well.
I'm gonna catch up on some emails.
It is time for another mailbag episode, but we are not just alone for this mailbag episode. We have a very special guest in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Brooke Bright.
Hello!
She's at the bottom of a ravine. We threw down a rope. We hope she'll climb up it. Now she's put a pie on her face and
peaked.
Trying to win back her kids.
You may know Brooke from Magic Tavern, where she plays Flower. Am I correct in this? I don't know why I'm giving your Magic Tavern the credits.
No, it's fine, and I hope it's not disconcerting that this is my real voice.
Yeah. It's always fun when they find out what you sound like.
Or look like.
Yeah,
most
that's
people
true.
Are disappointed.
I've had so many people come up to me, Magic Tavern fans, who are like, Flowers, like, and they'll describe you, and it's like the exact opposite. Like, it's just, it's very funny to hear them describe
it. I love it.
So you do Flower, F-L-O-U-R, on Magic Tavern? Give us a little taste of that. What's some, like, Flowerisms?
Oh, wait, you like things that Flower would say?
Yeah, just like opens the door, and what do you say?
Opens the door and is like, what's up, motherfucker?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you also do, you do a show with us called World News Tonight.
I do.
Give us a little taste of what that is.
I'm walking on as a character.
That's
usually,
a,
when she does
that's
that.
A pretty good impression of Brooke doing World News Tonight.
Usually an old lady.
Brooke also does do an old lady character that sounds a lot like Bill Cosby, which is not cool anymore.
But at the time.
And the thing is I'm not intending to do a Bill Cosby voice. It just is.
Well, yeah, but Bill Cosby has always sounded like an old lady.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Is going to
yep, that's your old
do strong character work and making sure everybody's
we'll use a voice modulator on that.
Please don't.
Brooke, anything else you want to plug? Because this has been, we're wrapping up here.
We're wrapping up.
It's been
the episode.
So much fun. Thank you. I'm hugging everybody.
Bye-bye.
Aaron, you were light this episode.
Yeah. I actually left. I ran some errands.
So for the mailbag episodes, what we do is, of course, we read the emails you sent.
And yeah, that's all about me.
It's all about Brooke. Because you can write your own riddles or send in riddles that you enjoy. And we have, oh, God, so many.
We have a ton
we're
of...
We're way behind.
A ton of people send us emails. Sometimes people send us emails months ago for riddles that we've already done on the show. But please keep sending us riddles. You can always send us riddles to hrrpodcast@gmail.com.
Also, some people have sent us some personal notes about what we could do differently. Please send those to donotsendthoseemails@gmail.com.
Although, JBC, when we, a couple hours ago before we started... talking about podcast stuff, what did you say some of the emails said about What did you notice a reoccurring theme?
Do you want me to throw more gas on this fire?
Yep.
I will say that in episode, what was it, like 2, 3, or 4, like something Aaron like had that. Talked about a UTI, and a disconcerting amount of people emailed us mentioning her UTI. And I will say, I went through it. It's kind of like an equal mix men and women, which seems weird. There was one couple that was like, me and my boyfriend have to know about the UTI. And I was like, you don't. You
Wait,
just
it's
don't.
Just people seeking more information. It's not like helpful. Like
a lot of people don't have healthcare, so they'll email us a podcast to see what they should do.
What for. You're doing is irresponsible.
I think that a lot of people felt like the UTI thread was like left dangling right. at the end.
They often are.
Can I ask a dumb question? Because I'm sure the answer is yes.
Yes.
Did anybody email in about that same episode where I made that UTI joke where I said somebody approached a rapper that was 2 Chainz and said UTI? Did anybody email?
Let me see. No one did. Wait a second. This is an email from the rapper T.I.
Oh, yes.
And he says, my music's pretty good.
That's not T.I.
No,
that's what
T.I.
I say every time I meet a calculator.
UTI? You touch his instruments?
UTI?
You graphing?
But if you do have riddles that you want to submit, please keep submitting them to the show. I'm sure we'll do this podcast for 1,000 years, so we'll get to all of these eventually. But also, people have been sending in very nice things about the show, or like positive messages or little stories about like times that they've been listening. Please send those in. And if you want to send those as separate emails than the riddle ones, we really appreciate it, because then we can like answer them and respond to them. But if it has a riddle in it, we can't even like look at it, because it's like, oh, it's a riddle that we have to save for the show, and we don't want to read these ahead of time, so we want them to be as like fresh as possible. I also say that
fresh hello fresh hello. Which takes us to our first spot. No,
well, maybe, who knows. They could be back. I also think it's cool that a lot of people have come up with very creative ways for giving us the answers to the riddle in the email. Like some people attach the answers as a PDF, so you have to like open that separately.
Some people mail us a codex and we have to solve that.
One
like
guy,
Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code.
One guy kidnapped my daughter for a couple days.
But of course you had a particular set of skills that make people like you a nightmare for those people.
Yeah, yeah. I have a particular set of skills to make me a nightmare.
Number one, lack of social awareness.
Loud voice, close quarters, annoying on podcasts, over talking.
Balmy hands. So for this episode, JPC will be old male puzzles.
Old male puzzles. Jesus. Yes, I'll be old male puzzles. I have selected some of the listener submitted riddles for this week, and I'll be walking them through it. So that Brooke will I know some of these and I don't know some of these, so I'll ask them. I'll tell you which ones I don't know ahead of time, and then we'll try to suss them out. There's not really warm-up riddles for this, because some people like submitted more warm-up riddles, but I just selected kind of like an equal mix.
I feel warm.
Great. I feel warm as well, and I hope our audience feels warm, too.
Before we start, really quick, I know I keep delaying it, but Brooke, do you have any thoughts about riddles like or puzzles?
Oh,
or
yeah,
mind
that's
game
a great
stuff?
Call.
Where do you stand on?
I love them. It doesn't mean that I'm good at them, but I do love them. And I used to, on car trips, when I was in a touring company with Second City, we had a box of a game, an old board game called Crack the Code.
Mm.
And we would play Crack the Code all the time. This was pre-smartphones.
What is Crack the Code?
This is true.
You were on tour in 1984?
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> I am 2 million years old.
Do you remember, was Crack the Code like... Crack the Case. Was that like the... Because I think I've heard of this or seen this where it's like old court cases that actually happened where you have to solve what the outcome was?
Maybe. But mostly they were really convoluted. Weird riddles that were infuriating.
I feel like I've seen it with a gavel in the front, but I think it's all like actual court cases that were like bonkers.
Yeah, I don't remember. This was handed down to some, like, so it's like it was probably in a Ziploc bag.
like a Jumanji of sorts.
Like a good game is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a good game is Jumanji. Of sorts.
Oh, Jumanji, hurry on the chimney tonight.
Brooke, you're going to fit in well.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, so these are some listeners submitted. This one is from Eric Berlin, and the title of the email is The Jester and the Princess. Cool?
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit of a story riddle, so I'm going to read for a minute.
Do the voices, Dad.
I'll do your voices when your mom comes back.
Oh, boy.
She's in the army and she's protecting our freedoms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, happy ending.
Do all the riddles have backstories?
Yes.
Great.
The jester and princess fell in love, and the king was not happy about it. The king decided to give the jester a test. a tester, if you will. If the jester, that's not Eric's joke, that's mine. Eric, don't get credit for that. If the jester passed, the king would give the couple his blessing. The jester was led down a hallway in the castle to a bare room with a lamp in the middle of the floor. The lamp contained a single light bulb, which was off. The jester was allowed to look at the room for a few moments, and then he was led out again. The door to the room was closed, and an angry-looking guard was stationed in front of it. There was, of course, no way to see the lamp through the closed door. The king then led the jester down the hall to a panel with three simple light switches, all in the off position. One of these switches turns on the lamp in that room. The other two switches do nothing. If you can tell me which switch turns on the lamp, I will give my blessing to you and my daughter. You can play with the switches for as long as you wish. You can also go back into the room with
the
lamp.
That's what I tell my nieces over the holiday. Oh. Got a Nintendo Switch. You play with that switch as long as you want.
Yeah, that's very fun of
you. Couldn't sit on that gold, sorry.
I hope it ruins the riddle. I will give my blessing to you and my daughter. You can play with the switches for as long as you wish. You can also go back into the room with the lamp. But once you do, you can no longer touch the switches. And if you try, that angry guard will kill you. If you can tell me with the absolute assurance which of these three switches controls the lamp in that room, I will let you marry my daughter. The jester was a clever fellow, so he's not an adult JPC Aaron or Brooke type, and was able to do this. Well, for sure, but I included me second. The jester was a clever fellow and able to do this. Can you?
Here's my number one qualm.
I don't know the answer to this one, I'll say.
Here's my number one qualm with this riddle.
Okay.
We have a king, a princess, and a jester.
Yes.
When we talk about jesters, we're talking like 1,200 to 1,700
pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty big guys.
Pretty
right?
Big guy. Yeah, big guy.
That's why they're funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Funny guy, big guy. Farley. Belushi.
Why would a king, a princess, and a jester have electricity in their castle?
Oh.
Is that part of the riddle? Is like, this is like a medieval times or something?
This is, well, Eric does go on to clarify that this is taking place in a medieval times.
No. Perfect. Then, yeah. One drumstick, one Pepsi.
All right. So what happens when you turn on a light?
So like, there's three. Like so there's three switches, and one of them turns the light on.
Yeah, but
I
what
assume.
Are like some consequences or like other things that happen when you turn on a light? People's pupils change. Sometimes it makes a noise. Sometimes there's static.
A guard goes, "My light's on."
That's what it is. The guard's his dad, and he's going to help him out and scream, "It's on."
The guard is the mother. Yeah, I don't know what happens when you turn on a light. Yeah, I guess the it seems like the room is like sealed, very much so.
It's a bear room.
And it is
bears
spelled
B-E-A-R. How long has it been since they've eaten?
Bear just ate each other out.
Oh, it's a lighthouse. They might be giants.
He's let out.
It's a polar bear.
Continuing this, a single light bulb which was off. The jester was allowed to look at the room for a few moments, then was let out again. The door to the room was closed. Yeah.
So wait, he can play with the switches. Can he go back into the room?
One time. And but after he does, he can't touch the switches anymore.
I got it.
But he still, all he has to do is say, this is the right switch.
I got it. Oh, wait.
He turns all the switches on.
Oh, if he has to point to the right switch after, can he go back and forth into the
room? Which
of
those three
time?
Switches controls the lamp in that room?
I think I got it.
So if you turn on two of the switches and leave one off and then go in the room and the light is off, you know which switch it is. But if you turn on two and go in the room and the light is on, then it's one of those two switches, right?
My thought was he can only go back into the room once or many times.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
The heat.
Well, that's what, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the heat of the lamp?
That you leave the switch on for like 5 minutes, turn it off, go back in and feel for heat.
But that's only
one. But then
he
can't do anymore. Like he can't move the switches after he goes in.
So he turns one light switch on and that's it.
There are clues. There are some hints.
Let's hear some.
Do we want to hear some of these clues? I like the idea of heat on the
light. I want to hear clues if you'll do them in a Tim Curry voice.
And Tim Curry, he sounds like soup.
He sounds like soup, uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, well, maybe he does one at a time. So if he goes, all right, I'm going to turn this switch on, and then I'm going to wait a little bit, and then the next switch, and then wait a little bit, and then the third, and then go quickly. So if it's really hot, it's the third switch. If it's sort of hot, it's the middle switch. And if it's kind of cold, it's the first one.
That's how I decided which of JPC's brothers to date.
I only have two brothers. Was I in the running? I didn't make it. No.
You weren't hot enough.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm not the hottest of my brothers. I say that sarcastically.
There's something with him being able to examine the room. So he can examine the room as long as he wants. Are there wires that like he can follow?
It's a bare room, so there's only bare wires, a.k.a. veins. Clues. Did the jester simply guess and get lucky? Yes.
What?
No, it's no. But that would be the best clue. It's like, is this a guess? Yes. Did the jester poison or otherwise subdue the guards that he could get into the room more than once? No. The jester played by the rules set out by the king. Could the jester see the light from the lamp through the cracks in the door or something like that? No. So none of those were avenues that we were exploring. So I would say that those clues are not helpful to us.
Yeah, we're with this, that bullshit.
So the other thing is that all the three are in the off position right now. So if you turn the one to the right on and then turn the one in the middle off. Now one of them is in the on position and two are off.
If you turn one on for 5 minutes, then turn it off, then turn on three, if the bulb is off but hot, it was one. If the bulb is on, it's three. If it's not hot or on, it's two.
I think that's correct, right?
Right?
Yeah, I think something like that. But I also think that there's an order. If you turn one on and the other two are off, then...
like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I got it.
Oh, do you?
He's an X-Man.
Hold on, this guy must be an X-Man. Yeah, which X-Men would he be that would solve it?
Everyone, every time, Adel.
Nightcrawler's powers allow him to transport himself from inside a room to outside a room. There is the smell of sulfur, so the guards will know.
I am the bulb finder.
This made me think of, you know that thing, that logic problem with like the wolf and the chicken and going across the lake? Like, it feels like that kind of riddle.
Oh, yeah, where it's like you have to eat a chicken to cross the road.
There's a farmer with a chicken, a wolf, and a bag of grain. Marry, fuck, kill.
Grain. Fuck the grain.
Fuck the grain.
Fuck the grain away.
No,
fuck
marry
the grain
the
away.
Marry chicken. The grain.
Marry the grain.
Marry the grain.
Marry the grain.
Whip. Fuck the chicken. Which. You grain whipped.
I want to see a scene.
I hate to tell you that you're wrong, but you were wrong.
I want to see a scene where JPC is playing Professor X.
Good. Your X-Men
Brooke,
thing?
Brooke made a great aside that the mutant would be called the bulb changer.
The bulb finder.
The bulb finder.
Yeah.
So we're going to have Professor X and the bulb finder. And Aaron, you're also going to play a mutant with whatever terrible power. Cool. And it's the two of you clearly like F-list mutants.
Haven't I fucking played Professor X on the show before? Yeah.
That's why we're going back to that well. Because you do it.
I did such
you
a good job.
So good.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So clearly they're not going to get in, but they have to plead their case and speak to their abilities. We take you to the McMansion. What's it called?
Professor Xavier's School for the Gifted.
Yes, that's what it is.
Okay. Well, we only have one spot left at the school.
Yeah, you're going to need me. Hey, listen, you got bulbs you need found? You looking to replace a bulb in the lamp situation or you planted tulips for the spring? I'm your goddamn guy.
We don't have any gardening and all of our bulbs are the 40-year, no filament, you know, they're permanent bulbs. So here in the house, we wouldn't necessarily need to make use, but you also don't have to work while you're here. That's
okay. So I can come in?
Well, now we only have one spot. And
hello, yes, hello. How do you need me?
Well, okay, I'm also a knob finder. You got a straight up grade A knob.
All right, hello? You get bonus points for that. That's a sick burn.
Thanks.
My power is I can't control my voice. And my voice does all sorts of fun things. That's my power.
This is your power?
I mean, can I just come inside?
Sorry to interrupt, Professor X, but Mama said... Mama said...
Well, good, you did remember this.
I need to find my playing cards.
Yes. Perhaps you've met one of our biggest star pupils here at the Professor Xavier School for the Gifted. This is Bobby Boucher, the water boy from the movie...
No, we haven't met yet.
Well, I'm sorry, but you two can't get into the school because Bobby Boucher just took the last slot. His mama's very sick of making me the gator.
That would have been really great to get to the school, but I understand.
Well,
I'm just going to go home.
We cut to the voice-changing mutant facing off against Magneto.
I've enclosed your body in pure metal. I can squeeze you like a vice, destroying every organ inside you. What do you have to say?
Yeah, but before you do that, I'm going to drive you crazy with my changing voice. Stop. And you're going to let me go because my voice changes much. My voice is changing
Stop, please. Is that an Ewok?
Bulb changer, now's your opening. Go!
Bulb, 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 bulb.
Oh, one got in my eyes.
Oh, Magneto is
I'm
dead.
Blinded.
Yeah, that's right.
Bulbs. What is the answer to this riddle? I think I'm ready.
Okay, so do we have like a final guess? We think it's...
I like my answer.
I think it's heat-based.
Okay, we think it's heat-based.
I'm still stuck on the fact of examining the room. There's something in the room.
Okay, you ready? Here it is. The jester turned on the first switch, waited a little while, and then turned it off again.
God damn
it. Then he turned on the second switch and asked to be let into the room. If the light bulb was on, the second switch was the answer. If the light bulb was hot, the first switch was the answer. If neither, the third switch was the answer.
That's what I said, but I said 1, 3, 2.
Yeah. I think that we all overcomplicated it by doing all three bulbs, but it was what Aaron said too, which is like, it's about heat. It's about the heat.
Well, and one of them possibly being on.
Yeah, exactly.
But that essentially you're not clicking all three.
You don't need the third one. Yeah, you just need the first two. And Eric says, all the best. I don't know what that is. It kind of seems shitty to say.
All the best.
All the best.
Well, best of the
best. So you think that we're not the best?
Eric Roberts.
Before we move on, I want to see a scene between the three of you. And it's that dinner after the jester has passed the test. It's a little bit awkward. He's with the king and the princess. You can play whatever parts you'd like.
Jester, I must congratulate you. I put you through a bit of a tester.
That is a very good joke, my liege.
I hope you two are enjoying yourselves. You've picked my husband based on a light bulb test. Gotta be honest, I was hoping there were some other qualities we were looking
for. Sweetie, I picked him through a light bulb test because you're so bright.
He's a jester. He's a fucking joke.
But in 3 years, he could be a manager. Who knows? He could help manage the castle.
God. I'm actually not interested in managing the castle. I just want to futz about on my lute and fiddle around on my...
Is that a euphemism?
He wants to futz and fiddle. I think you heard him right.
I want to futz and fiddle and dance and jiggle. I just want to jest, and occasionally I'll have a warm bed and a hot meal with the lovely future queen.
I want you to promise me something. Promise you'll love my daughter and jest her.
You want me to ingest her?
No, I was making a joke.
But about what?
Funny king.
Could you two get a room? Maybe the one with the light bulb in it. And then go fuck it.
Now there's an idea.
Well, if you turn me on for 5 minutes and then feel for heat.
Excuse me, I'm the angry guard. And I have something I'd like to say to you.
Okay. To me?
Not you, you dummy.
To the king?
Yes, to the king. I want more responsibility. You have me guarding a stupid room that has just a light bulb in it. I'm good. I'm good at my job.
I've loved you from the day that I met you, guard.
Wow. I'm
basically like a bag of grain in human form. Who would want to marry me?
I love you so much. And I never thought he would pass the stupid light bulb test, but he did.
It looked like they're starting to court.
I'm going to kill the king.
Rebellion! awesome. Thank you, Eric, for sending that Rizzy into Puddle Town.
What are you, fucking Guy Fieri now?
Yeah, why not?
We're going to send some Rizzies into Puddle Town.
I'm Guy Fieri on this episode. That's what we call old male puzzles.
We have to promise our future selves we will do an episode called Puzzies, Riddies, and Dives.
Yeah. I'd solve that riddle on the top of a Tuesday boat. I don't know.
The answer to that riddle, donkey sauce.
It's off the chain. No, the answer is off the chain. You see, he undid the latch.
Guy for putties. Guy Riddles. Okay, Guy Riddles. Cool. This one is
Hey Fury.
This one is from Gus Rachels, which is two first names, and it is called Aliens and Hats.
Mm. I'm into That's adorable.
Aliens and Hats.
Gus says that they're a big fan. They have a real stumper that I originally heard from my high school physics teacher way back when. I couldn't figure it out on my own.
Sounds like he came to class unprepared.
But only a couple of people I've ever given it to have been able to crack it. Oh, wow. So we're up against a... So close your eyes and focus up. Aaron, I think that's directed at you.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not me because I have to read it. Okay.
Sorry to interject so quick. Did you all have in high school, because my teachers, every once in a while. My teachers would come to class unprepared and like we'd watch like Glory or something.
Yeah.
Is that like a common.
Oh, yeah. Movie day?
Yeah. For sure. Or anything like that. Like.
No, I had a really good high school. They put me to work.
In my world history class, there was a copy of the movie Troy, which was like a 2.5-hour movie. And every time we got a sub, we were like, we're supposed to watch Troy today. It's in the desk.
Is that the Brad Pitt movie?
Yeah, it's bad. And they'd be like, you're supposed to watch Troy? It's like a 46-minute class. That's a 2.5-hour movie. We're like, yeah, we're just starting it. We watched the first half hour of Troy like so many
times. Did you ever see the end of it?
I mean, I have seen the end of it, but no. We were just like, it's not. Not a good movie either, but we watched a bunch of Troy.
Did you all yell, you got Troy'd at the end of it?
Like, yeah, like I know he left you a lesson plan, but like he said we're supposed to watch Troy.
We had a movie, It's a Troy.
Okay, so this is from Gus. All right. You and 99 strangers are kidnapped by aliens. Their plan with you is as follows. They're going to bury you up to your necks in sand.
Sorry, is it written?
Kill, fuck, or bury? Yeah.
Is it written in Canadian?
All right, I don't know what that's about. So, we had an interjection. They're going to bury you, plebs, up to your necks in sand in a single file line and place a skin-tight white or black hat on everybody's head. There are not necessarily 50 white and 50 black hats. The ratio of the two is random. The person in the back of the line, person number 100, can see all 99 hats in front of them, but not the hat on their own head. The person in front of them, person 99, can see all the 98 hats in front of them, and so on until you get to person 1, who can't see anything. They say jack shit, but I would never use that language. Starting from the back, person 100, the aliens will ask each person what color they think the hat on their own head is. If they are right, they can go free. If they are wrong, they're shot and killed. The aliens give everyone 10 minutes to strategize before they're buried and the questioning begins. The question is, what strategy can you and the strangers devise to guarantee as many people's safety as possible, and how many people will this strategy save?
I know it.
Why are these single file so angry?
Single
this
file
is their
line.
This is their pleasure. This is how they reproduce.
They have to be buried...
In a single file line.
In sand.
In sand. So you basically can't see. The person number 100 can see everyone's hats in front of them and so on. Mm-hmm. But like person number 50 can't see anything behind them.
Cool. So strategy is pick your own hat.
Here's some additional notes. Some additional notes. The only words you are allowed to say when it's your turn are white.
Welcome to Earth.
That's the only words you're allowed to say is welcome to Earth.
Just punch my mic. I'm sorry.
You're allowed to when you get amped. The only words you're allowed to say when it's your turn are white or black. Nothing more. You cannot change your inflection or volume to communicate additional info. For the purpose of this riddle, the only things that can be communicated during the questioning are the word white and the word black in and of themselves.
So the last person sacrifices themselves.
I think so.
And then just says the color of hat that's in front of them.
I think each person helps out the person in front of them. The guy in the back
dies.
Just takes one for the team.
Yeah. No, because then what? You have to say yours.
Hmm?
So if you say...
Oh, because then they know it's the opposite.
So if I'm behind you and you have a white hat, I'm going to start off the chain of giving you the correct answer, and then I have a 50-50 chance of living. So if you have a white hat, I would say white, and if mine's black, I get shot and killed. But then you know yours is white.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. But then you can't say the person in front of you because you have to say yours. Oh, no. Well, that theory is
shot. No. It's fine because... Oh, wait. So... Because you could talk. You have 10 minutes to talk to everybody to agree upon it.
Because if you say the person in front of you is the person behind you might have said a different color, so then you go against that. So that
so wait,
that
what order
that.
Are they being asked?
The back of the line first, the person that can see the most people.
Come to the back of the line.
Change the volume of which
no,
they
no,
say?
No, only white and black. That's all you can say. You can only communicate white or black.
But you can you say change the volume in
no,
which you say?
No, you cannot. You cannot communicate in any other way except the words white or black.
For like a fun rap song thing, can we say it's black and yellow, black and yellow?
Yeah, but it has to be a fun rap song.
Never mind. Let's yeah. stick to black and white.
Which is already a song.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P.
So if the person in front of me has a white hat on and I say white and I don't die, but then the person in front of them has a black hat on, they have to say white so that they don't get shot, right?
Mm.
Yeah, you can't just do that. You can't just communicate up the line like that.
Unless every other person does that. If yeah. every other person tells, then it's like oh, a 50% survival rate if every other person tells the person in front of
but
them.
But I think also if you just randomly guess, that's a 50% survival rate.
Yeah, not,
but it's 100% for the person that you're telling that the color they're
at. That is true. That is true. It's like half of you, you can save half of them, but the even person would die.
I think
would
you
take
just,
a 50-50
I think
shot.
You take a guess and you live or die, and you roll the dice, and we all move forward, and let's move on from this riddle.
Or if you said you can't change your inflection.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that was going to be mine.
Make hats.
Is that you look at the aliens and you're like, blur.
You can't change your inflection?
No.
If it's me, I would. Ruin this for everyone because they would come to me and I would start to say white. I would say, my wife!
My wife!
Bam! Yeah, so I guess we can save half of the people with that strategy.
But that strategy saves half.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, they say you're basically trying to save as many people as possible. The goal here is not to save yourself, it is to save as many people as possible.
So with the strategy of that, you're at least saving 50% and possibly more if you are also correctly guessing yours. So if you're communicating the person in front of you, every other person does that, then at least 50%, maybe more if you're accidentally guessing.
What if you take a look and like the majority color is what you say? So if it's like 60 black and 40 white or 39 mm-hmm. white, you say black.
What if
and
it's 50-50
then? As it changes, then you skew your word. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
So then you're giving better odds to everyone. So versus being 50-50, it becomes, you know, 60-40.
I don't
60,
understand
40.
What's being communicated.
So it's like if I'm in the very back, I'm person 100, and there's 99 people in front of me, I count how many there are of each. And if there's a majority of one color, I say that color. And each person does that just to give better odds.
Gotcha.
Until you get to a point where that's no longer true and it might be the other color because you've done, yes.
That feels too complicated.
But it's better. Is the goal of this to save everyone?
No.
Save as many people.
So let's see. The goal is.
Oh, then you call Bulb Changer, Bulb Finder.
What strategy can you and the strangers devise to guarantee as many people's safety as possible, and how many people will this strategy save? So it sounds like the best we can do is like. Either half with that method or potentially you could save maybe 60%.
Well, it said it's not 50-50, right?
It's not necessarily 50.
Yeah. So
but it could be.
With that method,
it could be 50-50.
I feel like that's the best strategy,
yeah.
Given the circumstances.
I think that what's happening here is cruel, but are we ready? There's no clues or anything, so we want to just go right straight to the answer?
Yes.
This is tough. This is
a
stumper.
The person in the very back... I think there's two options, and I think the person in the very back assesses the situation with his intel or her. Is it just?
It does say it's her, so you did fuck up. It's a lady in the back.
So she assesses the situation with her intel.
I'm sorry,
and I think
it is him.
He assesses the situation.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, God.
They assess the situation.
There you go.
And then by saying black, I think that kicks off one chain of events, and by saying so, I think they have two. You know what I'm saying? Contingency plans.
Oh, okay.
And black or white, because the person in the back is fucked.
Yeah, right? they're
50-50.
They don't
sure.
know, and yeah,
all day. So I think their choice of word sets off one of the plans based on what they can see in front of them.
Okay.
And all right, I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sticking.
I'm gonna read it to you. I did not read this one ahead of time. The most common strategy people come up with is person 100 to say the color of the hat in front of them, thereby saving person 99 but risking their own life. It then resets at person 98 and so on, so they can guarantee the safety of 50 people. But there is a better strategy, but they didn't list it. No, I'm kidding. They didn't.
I was going to be so mad.
Just like that's Pearl the most Jam, common one. Can't find a better way.
Can't find a better one. Okay. Before you are buried... or buried, you assign the word black to mean odd and the word white to mean even. This code will only apply to what person 100 says. After you're buried, and when it's time for person 100 to kick off the questioning, they will count all the white hats in front of them. If it's an odd number, they say black. If it's an even number, they say white. They may or may not survive because no one can see their hat, but now everyone ahead of them knows whether they saw an odd or even number of white hats. So let's say person 100 sees 45 white hats and says black, which is odd. Then it's person 99's turn. If they also count 45 white hats, an odd number, they know that their hat must be black. But if they only count 44, an even number, they know their hat has to be white.
This is some beautiful mind shit.
It really is. Every time someone after person 100 declares that their hat is white, everyone in front of them knows whether to check for an odd or even number ahead of them. This strategy, when executed properly, no pun intended, that's dark, will guarantee the safety of 99 people.
Okay. Do the aliens execute them properly?
I thought it was properly, and I was like, I don't understand. I get it now.
Yeah, that's
it's Carrot Top in the back. So
that's very interesting.
Properly?
That's properly.
Who decided to hear at the back of the line?
Adam Sandler says, come to the back of the line.
I made that joke earlier, and you stared daggers at me.
Yeah, I loved it. What does my face betray? What is my face saying to you right now? Yeah, that's very clever. I hope that your high school physics teacher is rotting in hell.
Oh, I don't hope that.
Oh, no, no. Yes, we all agree that I hope that, and no one else does.
Physics is not my favorite.
No one shares my hopes.
Okay, I want to see a scene where you three are all buried up to your neck. You're all buried up to your nooks in CERN. And there's aliens.
You joke, but the proper pronunciation is CERN. You freaking plebe.
Like CERNs and the Erglers. Zuger, the Durgers of Erlers.
If Trace
Wow, someone went to Harvard.
Or watches up.
Or
another
so
another Ivy Leaguer among us.
I want to see a CERN where you three are buried up to your nooks and CERN. And... the aliens are putting on funny hats on your head, and you have to do something for them. We don't know what.
Okay.
Well, this day didn't turn out as I planned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the understatement of the frickin' century.
Sorry, Dale.
Dale, you look... I'm sorry.
I can't see myself. What do
Dale,
you mean I look...
You, okay. No, you look great. No, no, no. Dale, you look...
Tish, don't lie to me. Do I look great or do I...
Dale,
you always do this, Tish.
Dale, you look great. You look great. Dale, and it's pissing me off how good you look in that goddamn...
Quiet over
hat.
There. Quiet. Oh. Gun.
God, oh my God, he's got gum.
Do you think he'll share? My mouth's a bit gamey.
We would love some Trident over here, okay? We're buried in sand. Hey, can I ask you guys a question? Be honest. You're pissing in the sand, right? I've been pissing the entire time I've been in this sand.
Do you want me to lie or do you want me to be honest?
Okay, well, I'm just trying to share a thing about myself. Are you pissing?
Yes, I've been pissing in the sand.
I've been pissing in the
sand. And I can feel all of your piss on my feet.
Yeah, actually, I can't even tell if I'm pissing in the sand because maybe it's just your piss in the sand.
Okay. Quiet over here. Whoever pisses in the sand will get gum.
We all want gum.
He brought over a trident.
Jesus Christ.
You were too literal.
I think these aliens surprised us. I don't think they're necessarily smart. I think they're actually... They don't seem to understand the technology that they possess, and they're mystified by gum and
trident. Quiet over here. Orbits is what your planet does around the sun.
I'm more concerned of their hat fetish.
Yeah. Yeah,
again, you look great, totally normal.
Tish,
not
funny. I don't know why you don't wear more hats. Like, in general, why don't you wear more hats?
I didn't grow a mullet to hide it under a hat.
Mullets don't hide under hats. they peek through.
Well, the back peeks through, but I want people to know specifically that I'm business in the front.
I understand. You could wear a visor.
It's the least interesting part of the mole. Business in the front.
But it's the most critical part of it being a mole.
I said quiet. You get a bullet in the mullet.
Oh, he just gave you a piece of spearmint orbits.
Yes, from my gum.
Yeah, that's a gun.
Hmm?
Oh, boy. Okay, on the count of three, let's all start peeing in the same scene. Okay.
And speaking of piss, let's take a quick pee break. We'll be right back with more putties and ritties.
Bulbs.
And bulbs.
One, two, three, four. Hey, Rico, Rico.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
JPC. Two words rhymes with, oh no, you're sick.
Yes, it rhymes with, oh no, I'm sick. You know what? You guys are never going to get it. I was trying to show you I need Claritin.
Mm.
Claritin.
Oh, JPC, why don't you just hold up a box of Claritin?
Oh, I have this box of Claritin right here. Mm. Camera goes ping, and I smile and I kind of wink when I hold up my box of Claritin D.
JPC, I know that you famously live with allergies. You're an allergy sufferer.
Famously.
But you don't have to live like that. You can live Claritin clear with Claritin D.
Yeah, luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D.
Guys, I know that you've been saying this live clear with Claritin D thing. It seems supernatural, but you've been saying it a ton just to me, like in casual conversation. Live Claritin clear with Claritin D. We all know it. I picked up my own Claritin D, and I think that everybody should use this product. I have allergies. I have the scratchy throat, the itchy throat. There's nothing worse. There's a lot of things worse, but there's nothing worse from a personal day-to-day level than that scratchy throat. Claritin D takes it all away. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better and podcast funnier. That's not part of their ad copy. I just want Claritin to know I added the podcast funnier. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. It makes you pretty funny on a podcast. That they put in there. I don't know why they put that in there.
But don't take it from the three of us. Take it from Claritin, the teenage Claire who loves Claritin. Claire?
I'm a teenage Claire that loves Claritin. Ready to live your life like you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter.
Yeah.
You don't even need a prescription.
Woo-hoo.
So go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. That's Claritin.com right now. Use as directed.
Yep.
Live Claritin clear. JPZ, live Claritin clear.
Live Claritin clear with Claritin D.
Yes, live Claritin clear with Claritin D. Yes.
And thrusters go. Engine 3, go. All right, we have liftoff. Oh, Aaron and JPC, I just sent a bunch of our money into space.
Oh, yeah! Wait, what?
Well, it's kind of the same thing as how we're wasting it right now, right? There's all those unused subscriptions that we have that are just sort of...
Boy.
Oh, Adel.
Aaron, you want to drop some knowledge on this fool, or should
I would love to, JPC. Adel, you sort of had the right idea, but we use the Rocket Money app. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. And it's also my most used app on my phone by far.
Ding, 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 ding. Most used app, Adel, okay? And it doesn't just... Look, I know what you had good intentions. You put a bunch of money in a rocket and sent it up to space. Great intentions. But that's not what Rocket Money does. With Rocket Money, you have full control over your subscriptions and a clear view of your expenses. You can see all of your subscriptions in one place. And if you see something you don't want, Rocket Money can help cancel it with just a few taps.
Mm-hmm. And you can clearly see your spending habits. Plus, they help create a custom budget and keep your spending on track.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wowie zowie, I just looked it up. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features.
Uh-huh. Can you believe it?
And Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lowering your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you, Adel.
Oh. Well, can I tell you a little secret? I was lying. I didn't send money into space. That would be stupid. I sent a bunch of my books into space to help aliens get smarter.
That's where we keep our money.
Yeah, I knew you were never going to read all those books, so I hollowed them out and filled them with money.
Oh, no. Well, stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/riddle. That's rocketmoney.com/riddle. Rocketmoney.com/riddle.
We don't need money. We have friendship.
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 We have friendship.
We have friendship.
This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. Okay, Adel, Aaron, I am putting the finishing touches on our Penguin Baseball League website powered by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether we're just starting out with Penguin Baseball League, which we are, or managing a growing brand with Penguin Baseball League, which we are, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with our audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on our terms.
Phew, thank goodness we use Squarespace, because now we can upload video content, organize our video library, and showcase our content on beautiful video pages. You can even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall to that content. So people might need to pay a couple extra dollars to see these cute little penguins sliding into third.
Plus, with Squarespace, we can start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. And that's the hardest part about doing Penguin content, is because their sizing is wildly out of whack. You never know if you're going to get a big penguin or a small penguin, but with Squarespace, you can easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools, so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. And I hope these penguins grow the way I want, because I'm going to need them to grow really big to play Penguin Baseball.
Oh, yeah. All of our teams need to grow really big, right? We all agree?
Oh, yeah. Huge. Yeah.
And of course, you can also add courses to your Squarespace site. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online course. So we can teach other people how to play Penguin Baseball. You can start with a layout that fits your brand, upload videos, and customize everything with next-generation editing technology.
So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/riddle to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Domains are where penguins live.
Huh.
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 Oh. Oh, we did some sort of call. The penguins are flying towards us.
They're coming here. They're
running. They're running. And we're back with old mail puzzles.
Mail, M-A-I-L, for it's a mailbag episode. Ooh, and what's up next in the mailbag? Here's a little riddle, and the subject line is riddle, exclamation point, from Ty.
Can you convey that without having to say that?
I'm sorry?
Can you convey the exclamation point without having to say it?
I just apologize.
You're so Canadian today.
This is from Ty. I don't know how to pronounce your last name.
A yellow ribbon around the old tree?
Yeah, it's Ty A-Y-E-L-L-O R-I-B-B-O-N.
That's pronounced Burrell.
Z-U-N-I-G-A. Ty, Ty's riddle is this. If a guy has a bee in his hand, what's in his eye?
Is this Guy Fieri?
It's Guy Fieri.
And his eye is...
Donkey sauce! And I've read the riddle because it's on the same line.
He's got a bee in his hand.
What's in his eye?
What's in his eye?
I got it.
Tears. Because he's getting stung.
Should I say it or should I say it?
I remind you from the tears getting stung by a bee.
Ooh. I was at a wedding over the summer. I didn't know the bride or groom. Was it
Seal and Heidi Klum?
Yep.
Were you there with Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, I was crashing that wedding. But I didn't know anyone really because it was my boyfriend's like old roommate.
Wedding
is his wedding.
I was going to break it up.
Aaron.
But I just wasn't trying to call any attention to myself. And I trapped a bee between, like, I like clasped my hands together to like look proper during the ceremony.
Christian.
In the middle of their ceremony, trapped a bee in my hand and it stung me so hard. And I made a noise.
What was that noise?
I went, ah! I went, ah! Like very loudly. And I called attention to myself. So I guess I did get attention that day.
To be fair, you were stung by a bee.
Yeah, it hurt so bad.
But Aaron, at that time, what was in your eye?
tears.
Because honestly, her boyfriend was getting married.
Because my boyfriend was getting married.
Honestly, though, this would have been a dope line to say when you got stung by that bee at this wedding. This would
after
have been
the previous
perfect.
Two riddles being as Ivy League as they were and hard. Mm-hmm. This is a softball, baby.
This is a softball.
It's beauty.
Yeah. That's correct.
Somebody's holding a bee. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
And I just imagine Aaron getting stung and well, I guess beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And everyone at the wedding would be like, marry your boyfriend.
And then the bee flies in her mouth and she throws up.
Yeah. I did have a bee caught under my bangs not that long, like a couple weeks ago.
Bee bangs, bee bangs.
Oh, baby, when she moves, she moves. She's all crazy. I was like, there's a bee under my, and I didn't know what to do about it. And eventually I just went, and just slapped it out of
so
my bangs.
So it didn't
bangs.
Sting you?
No, it just hung out under there. Mm. It's kind of cold outside.
Can we make an album cover for Ricky Martin's Bee Bangs?
Bee Bangs, Bee Bangs.
Yeah, with Brick on it, yeah. And then put it on a mug and sell it at our store. Sure, why not?
Bee Bangs.
Okay, this next riddle is from Kari Carson. Okay.
Are you saying Johnny Carson?
She's got like accents.
Oh, okay.
They have accents over the A's. So I think it's Kari Carson.
I like
two
it.
Plus two. Kari the one.
Kari the one. her name is Sand. Sand and the grains of our grace.
That's what I said.
Great. Kevin is a lazy scamp, as he himself knows all too well. He can't get a job because he's always half an hour late to his job interviews. In an effort to change his tardy ways, he goes to his mother, Susie, for advice. Thank you, by the way, Kari, for putting the proper terms. Knowing that she is very resourceful person. This is the advice his mother gives to him. Kevin, my slow-witted man-child, here's what you do. Every time you have to be somewhere at a certain time, act as you would act if you had to be there a half an hour earlier than that time. The next day, Kevin has a job interview at 2 p.m. He follows his mother's advice, and yet he doesn't arrive for his interview. What happened?
It's daylight savings time.
It's daylight savings time.
Is it really?
I have no idea. I don't know the answer to this.
So
the advice is literally, every time you have to be somewhere at a certain time, act as you would act if you had to be there half an hour earlier.
He went to an acting class.
He's just acting like he had to be there a half hour.
Act as you would act.
The job interview, it has to do with the job he went to go interview for.
You think so? There's some clues on this one. Do we want to get the clues?
I know it.
Oh, Adel knows it.
Ben Affleck shows up in Matt Damon's stead and pretends to be him.
Affleck!
And says, I'm Kevin.
Yep.
There are some clues. I can give you some clues.
Well, I'll throw out there too. So he's going to act as if he would need to be there a half hour earlier, which means that he would show up exactly on time.
Act as you would act if you had to be there a half hour earlier.
Oh, I'm Kevin. I got to be there at 1:30. I'm always a half hour late, so I think I'll be there
too. Kevin, you're really acting up.
He's always a half hour late to his job interviews. He's always, that's true. So he's always a half hour late. And this job is at 2 and he doesn't show up. So he acted like he should be there at 1:30, was a half hour late.
No. Yeah.
I don't know.
What are the
different time zone?
It could be a different time zone. It could be daylight savings time. It could be like the, you know, fall back or something like that.
He kept taking the advice and he was there like 10 hours early.
I think, yeah.
I'm with Brooke. It could be wolves.
It could be wolves.
I think if every time he has to be there and he acts like it's 30 minutes earlier, then that's like a self cycle and he keeps acting like it's 30 minutes over and over again. And then he's just there like 10 hours early.
Can we see a quick scene?
Yeah.
I want Aaron to be Little Red Riding Hood. I want Brooke to be the Big Bad Wolf.
Okay.
In disguise, of course. Mm-hmm. So Aaron, you're making your way through the forest trying to get to a job interview. Mm-hmm. And the Big Bad Wolf in disguise holds you up.
La, 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 la,
cool, real quick, I want Brooke to play the Little Red Riding Hood. Aaron, I want you to be the wolf.
No.
This is a real shame because I was about to bust out Bill Cosby.
Oh, yeah.
Are we switching?
Are we switching?
Yes.
Please.
You really want us to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Damn.
I take your acting challenge as my acting challenge.
Take your acting challenge.
Your acting challenge is my acting challenge.
They're floating.
La, 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 la. I'm Little Red Riding Hood. I'd argue that that's worse, Adel, but anyways. And I'm a wolf.
Oh, yeah, nobody asked you, man.
Oh, I mean, I'm a person.
What?
Oh, no.
Because you look like a person, but you said you're a wolf.
I think that I'm a...
What are you doing in these woods?
Oh, I'm going to a job. Job interview.
All right, we cut to the wolf.
My wolf.
We cut to the wolf hanging out with her wolf friends, and all of the wolf friends have eaten children that day, but you have yet to eat a child because you keep blowing it.
Great. So what's up, everybody?
I mean, honestly, it sounds like you're shooting yourself in the foot as soon as it begins.
You have to say, I'm a wolf? You gotta hide that shit.
Yeah, I mean, the whole, like, say I'm a person. Actually, don't say that. That sounds wolfy as shit.
I don't say anything at all. I just go up to him and just start eating him.
Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster. That's ruthless.
Hey, hey. Now, we all invited Cookie Monster here because Cookie Monster's a player.
Me love. Know? Me love biscotti. Me love.
Kid. Cookie Monster eats more kids than any of us, okay?
That's my secret.
That's why Cookie Monster's here.
That's my guilty pleasure.
All right, I know that we're just talking about eating kids, but also, like, how do you talk to someone you're interested in? Like, what's your strategy there?
Ask them about them. People love to talk about themselves.
I'd rather hear from Cookie.
That's my brother, Dookie.
My name's Dookie Monster. I eat that ass.
And I guess I am the only wolf here. I'm a wolf too.
Well, I'm a wolf.
Are you?
Because
wolves
wolf.
Eat kids and you ain't eating shit. Dookie Monster eats
wolves. I eat shit.
I said his name Dookie.
I'm sorry?
Dookie.
I'm from Canada. We pronounce it Dookie Monster.
Is that why you're buried up here next?
Adel, none of this would have happened if you had just let me be a little Red Riding.
What? Sliding doors. I want to see a scene with Aaron as Little Red Riding Hood and Brooke as the Big Bad Wolf in disguise,
great.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. And this, of course, will be the only take we do because this is the reality and timeline that we currently exist in.
Mm-hmm.
La, 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 la. I'm Little Red Riding Hood.
Cool. I want to stop real quick. I want to give...
No!
I want to give JPC Little Red Riding Hood. Brooke, you're going to stay the wolf.
Okay,
great,
ready?
Great. Yep.
La, 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 la. I'm Dookie Monster.
Oh, why'd you come on in here, Dookie Monster? What you doing?
I'm just on my way to a job interview at a poop factory.
Oh, that's super interesting.
Again, Adel, this is your fault.
Okay, I want to see Aaron as Little Red Riding Hood, and Brooke is the Big Bad Wolf in disguise, of course. Mm-hmm. And this will be the only time we do this, of course, because this is our current dimension and timeline.
La, 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 la. I'm a wolf.
And scene. Okay, so we are going to move on to more listeners submitted.
Why?
Riddles and puzzles. No. Here's some clues. Here's some clues for this one, okay?
We didn't solve this at all.
Wait, what's the riddle? Light bulbs?
Kevin does indeed follow the advice perfectly, but perhaps a little too literally.
This is Kevin James?
Yes. Paul Blart, Mark Hall. Clue number two.
You really choked on that
cobble,
one.
Cobblop,
cobblop. Plop, 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 plop.
Kevin, the name of the original title of that movie was just plop, 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 plop.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
It was fat shit ball fuck. All right, let's see. Clue two.
If you're not listening to Till Death Do Us Blart, check out that podcast.
Is there a real podcast called that?
Yes.
Wow. Kevin doesn't arrive too late or early for his interview. In fact, he never arrives at all. Clue three, technically, the only time you could decide to arrive at by following this advice would be the very beginning of time.
So it was what Aaron said.
I think it was what Aaron said. It's just that he keeps going back and back and back and back. Mm-hmm. The answer, is that what we all think?
Well, I think he showed up a half hour for a.m. instead of p.m. or something like that. Like there's some doof move.
Given all these clues that we just got.
Yeah, the beginning of time is kind of the.
You're going in on
Kevin's mother told him that whenever he was to arrive, he should act as he would act if he had to arrive half an hour earlier. So since he has to arrive at 2 p.m., he will act as if he would act if he had to arrive at 1:30 p.m. And how would he act if he had to arrive at 1:30 p.m.? Well, he would in that scenario follow his mother's advice and act as if he would have to arrive at 1 and then
so
blah,
he
blah,
keeps
blah.
Coming back.
Kevin
so
is stuck in an infinite loop. His mother's advice makes him constantly act as he would act half an hour earlier. Kevin has no way to decide on an arrival time, going endlessly backwards. Unless you maybe count the beginning of time as a stopping point, so his mother wasn't so resourceful after all. Chunts up with that. Oh, she snuck it in.
Did you say that, or did they
She said that. And she also says, hope you like the riddle and have fun from a big fan from Iceland.
Wow.
So that's why those accents were in her name, probably. Kari Snarkarason.
Rekja.
And she also says, good luck pronouncing that. So I fucked
it
up.
Oh, nice.
I do like to, if you will all indulge me, I do like whenever there's a fan of Magic Tavern, I do like to give a little taste of Chunt. So let me just slip into that.
Mm-hmm.
This is Chunt here.
We don't want to hear Dookie Monster again.
Dookie. Dookie rhymes with cookie.
Dookie rhymes with cookie.
Bookie Monster.
Reykjavik rhymes
Dookie
with...
Dookie Monster, Cookie Monster.
Bookie Monster.
Oh, Bookie Monster.
Wreck your prick.
Thank you.
I guess this is a Barry Burry situation of cookie or kookie.
Kookie.
Kookie. Kookie. This one is titled A Riddle from Ecuador.
Is this person sending it from Ecuador, or is the riddle from Ecuador? That's going to affect how I approach this.
Her name is Maria Jose Peron Reed.
What a fucking international show this episode has become.
Wow, yeah. It's almost as if JPC picked these.
They're awesome.
Because of an international flair. It's like my whole brand.
It's almost as if I have international appeal. Hi, everyone. I'm Aaron Keith.
What are you, a banana?
Oh, my
God.
Oh, I want to take off my skin.
Like a banana.
Like a banana would.
That's what a banana would do, Aaron.
And I'm Guy Fieri. Oh. Welcome to International Flavor Town.
Aaron just took her headphones off and steam came out of her ears.
And now she's laying down in a bowl with 3 scoops of ice cream.
I can't do this.
Cherry's Jubilee. Okay, so there are 2 riddles here. The first riddle is one that we have already done.
Okay.
So we did an Ecuador riddle, huh? It was the one about the man who goes up his building and presses the lower button on the floor because he has
raining.
To. Raining, yeah.
So retroactively, we're international.
Yes, we're retroactively international. And the second riddle is, there's 2 riddles here.
Also red?
Yeah, it's the one about the guy who has the hiccups
cool.
And the bartender scares him.
You fucked us.
Ecuador fucked us. Also, this riddle was sent months ago. So we probably, but when they actually sent it, we hadn't done these riddles. Thank you, Maria. We apologize that we're too good at our jobs.
One is an Ecuador, not an Ecuador.
Oh, boy.
One is an Ecuador. Well, I'll see y'all
in half an hour. You just belittled an entire country.
When an Ecuador closes.
Another
God opens an equa window.
Yep.
God opens a...
equine by cutting open a horse.
God cut opens a horse. Okay, so moving right along. This is from Ella Riley. So the subject lines on these are always so funny. This subject line is, hi, how are you all today?
Aw, hey. We are good.
Ella?
Fine.
Pretty good.
We're all great. I've got a few of my own original riddles for you guys. It'd make my dad... If you could try one on the show.
Day.
Originals.
You would make her a dad?
So it's either it'd make my day, or she left out like happy. It'd make my dad happy if you could try one on the show.
Oh, you don't need
his
approval.
Does it give her dad's name?
Yeah, it's Kevin. Cool. So you guys ready for some of Ella's original riddles?
Yes. Let's do this, Ella.
My head's in the heavens, yet I'm grounded as can be. What am I?
Stuck
in
purgatory.
What's that? A mountain?
Stuck in purgatory.
Stuck in purgatory, Brooke.
Good blowjob.
Brooke, bulbs.
You always have to ground your blowjobs. Grab a piece of hard metal off the ground so you don't get shocked.
And show up 30 minutes early.
Always be with a gentleman under 6 inches so you're not shocked.
A tree.
My head is in the heavens, yet I'm grounded as can be. What am I?
Tree.
Tree's a good guess. Mountain's a good guess. I think those both work. Ella was going for something a little more specific.
Oh, okay.
More like a city location. That gives it away.
Cloud City.
It's a Cloud City. Adel was right. It's Cloud City.
For a while growing up, I thought that you could...
No, it's Skyscraper.
Oh. If you worked in a really tall building, you could like take your
cup of coffee or hot chocolate and put it out the window and scoop up some cloud, and it was just like, it tasted like a.
Do you know why? Cream. Do you know what gave you that thought? Was that
somebody told me?
we got to see this scene. So
that can't be true because you didn't know me as a child.
How old were you, Aaron?
Probably till I was like 9.
So this is 9-year-old Aaron. And I want you to be at school with Brooke and JPC, mm-hmm. And they're feeding you a load of hooey.
Hey, I did your homework last night. Hi.
Don't do that anymore. We want to do it. It's not a challenge if you do it.
Thanks for nothing, Aaron.
Stop doing that.
I just love doing it. So what are we up to today? Are there like any play dates or for school or what's going on?
I think that there's some things that you might be misinformed about that we could tell you.
Tell me.
Yeah, we want to kind of clear some, because you keep doing our homework, which is not something that we want.
Yeah.
So, you know how trees have roots?
Sure.
And they go under the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Humans have roots too.
What?
But you have to find them because they've been taken from you. Okay. Your parents usually hide your roots somewhere in your yard.
My mom and my dad hid my roots?
Yeah, so you'll have to go home and dig up and try to find your roots.
But how am I alive without my roots?
Don't ask dumb questions.
Follow-up
questions.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Your roots are probably in a cemetery.
Probably.
So what you have to do is go to a cemetery and dig around until you find your roots.
Great. Mm-hmm. Have you found your roots?
Oh, yeah.
Roots?
Oh, yeah.
Long time ago.
Then why can you move around?
We're keeping them safe.
We cut to a therapist's office. So that's when it all started, Aaron?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I dug up a lot of bodies. I dug up a lot of bodies.
You said that 3 times. Do you know what happens when you say I've dug up a lot of bodies 3 times in this particular office?
While I get looking a into session a... for free?
That's right. A free session appears. So do you want to cash that in now or do you want it as a coupon?
I'll keep one.
Really?
Yeah. I saw 2 people in your lobby looked familiar. They kind of looked like JPC and Brooke. They're just 2 people I went to school with. It can't possibly be them, though, right?
I cannot tell you if Mrs. Bright and Mr. Cohen are patients of mine. That could be any 2 JPCs.
Creek?
Are oh, sorry. There's a body of water that runs through my office.
Do you want us to care of this creek?
What do you what?
This babbling brook. Should we clear this out of here?
Brooke, I need you to wait your turn. You'll
JP
be in 5 minutes.
Creek?
JP Screw.
I don't want to wait. Oh, that's going to be my image of Brooke forever.
Aaron.
Yep.
After every session, you yell, scene, or I don't want to see this anymore.
Oh, no. We're this stuck is, in an infinite Kevin
this,
loop.
This is real life.
La, 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 la.
I may be a protector, but I'm designed to strike fear. What am I?
I may be a protector.
I may be a protector, but I'm
scarecrow.
A scarecrow. Aaron got it.
Scarecrow.
Probably because she's from freaking Boston.
I got to see another scene. I'm so sorry. Aaron, you're going to be a 1930s Hollywood scarecrow talking just like you did.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of us will play casting directors.
Great.
Next in, please.
Hello. Oh, Hollywood. What a beautiful place.
You knew it was your first day here?
Yeah, it's my first day in Hollywood. I think there might be a part for me. I heard you're casting the Wizard of Oz.
Well, we are, but you're leaking straw over the goddamn floor.
Yeah, did you just eat? Because you're stuffed.
Can we get you a highball? Maybe a pack of cigarettes? Maybe a little highball? Maybe a pack of cigarettes?
Feel like you're shaming my body.
No.
You're making fun of the way I look.
Well, now, that's a compliment of this era. We're all allowed to do that.
Yeah, we answer to Howard Hughes, and he shames your body behind closed doors.
I think I could be any part in Wizard of Oz. You just gotta give me a chance.
Okay, read these lines. We're gonna give them to you right now. Here you go.
And you were there? And you were there, too.
Okay, you're disgusting to look at.
You're absolutely gross.
Can you read for the dog? Read the lines right there for the dog.
Woof, 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 woof.
Hoof, woof. Well, the lines were woof, woof, so you fucked it.
Okay. Well, how about I'll read for the witch, then.
Okay. All right.
Which witch?
The Wicked Witch of the West, of course.
Okay. And here's the lines.
And your little dog, too.
Shouldn't have aimed so high.
Yeah. I hate what you did. Why don't you try reading a dead? Why don't you try reading the lines like you're dead?
You're like a drunk at a urinal. You aim too high.
All right, what part would you like me to read for?
For the shoes that curl up. The curled up shoes.
Just dead witch. Here you go. Here's
dead
the lines.
Witch.
Too much.
Too much.
Too big.
Pump the brakes.
You go in too
whatever
big.
Those
right, give me another
to
part to read for.
Okay.
I swear I'll get it.
I want you to read for the tornado. You are happy. Read for the tornado.
Oh, whoosh, whoosh.
Now hold on, stop everything. That is the worst shit I've ever seen. I hate it. You're fired.
You didn't even hire me. One more part.
Wait, you're hired.
Okay, I'm hired as what?
You're
the
hired?
The lion? The tin
no,
man?
No, no, no. We've written in one character who only has one scene. It's the Wicked Mitch of the East. Now, this is someone...
As a part you're born to play.
You're going to play a shithead brother-in-law who don't know nothing.
Yeah, the Wicked Mitch of the East gets killed by the monkeys. They eat his flesh.
All right, how about this? I'm Mitch. I'm so tall. I am so kind and lovely.
Wow, wow, wee, wah.
Wow, wee, wee, wah, wah.
My wife.
Can I please read for Dorothy again?
One more time.
Now, first you started out as a Peanuts teacher.
Yeah, actually, will you read for the Peanuts teacher?
Wop, 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 wop.
By gum, she's hired.
Gum?
I'm as strong as metal, yet free as a bird.
Aluminum.
What? It's aluminum.
Aluminum bird.
It's aluminum bird.
Oh, Leonard Skinner.
I'm strong as metal, yet free as a bird.
Nelly Furtado.
I wanna fly away.
I'm like a bird. I ran into a window.
What is made out of metal but is also like a bird?
I didn't fucking see the glass there.
Your glass is too clean.
What is like a bird? Airplane.
Baby, what I wanna say is.
Brooke, you got it over them screaming Nelly Furtado at each other.
We had a great bit.
I think I literally said metal bird, airplane.
We had a great bit, which is the song lyrics for the popular song "I'm Like a Bird" turned out to be "I'm Like a Bird. I Ran into a Window."
We'll let history decide if that was a great
bit. We were here for all of that.
But thank you for explaining it to me. Ancient knowledge few can know. In the night is where I roam.
Fortune cookie.
Vermin I snatch in my holy flight. None will beat me with my sight.
Hawk.
An eagle.
Owl.
An owl. Wow.
Owl.
Brooke really knows her birds, and you said hawk and eagle.
To be fair, I said hawk and stamped down my foot when I was incorrect, right onto Brooke's foot.
Yep.
And that's what, and she said, owl.
Owl. Black. White.
And she said, sorry if they're too easy. Nothing's ever easy enough for us. We're very stupid. And that she loves the podcast and
Wait,
is looking
she called
forward.
Us stupid?
I called us stupid. She loves the podcast and she's looking forward to more episodes.
What's her name again?
That is Ella.
And as always, did she mention who her favorite was?
She said, owl.
Oh. Addle.
Owl. Addle.
Addle. Owl.
Cool. There is one more thing that I want to do for the show this week, and that is it's not a riddle, but this is something that we get a lot of emails. I've recently gone through and scanned through a lot of them, and sometimes people have sent us non-riddle emails that have been lost in the shuffle.
Oh, words.
Words. So people have sent us words that have been lost in the shuffle. This was one of them. But this is something that we mentioned on an episode a while ago, and I wanted to clear up. This is an email from a person who...
So is this the first HR segment we're actually having?
Yes, this is for HR podcast.
Oh, great.
I'm
glad he's here.
No, this is a correction slash a bit of additional context that I thought that everyone would enjoy, except Brooke. Brooke will hate this.
No, I love a good well actually email.
This is a very nice well actually email. It's not like... either way, the title of this email is Master Sheep Are Real... In parentheses, not clickbait. So the you putting not clickbait on it didn't actually work because we didn't click on it. But thank you. And this person's name is Vitus Mist Agendatir. This is a person from Iceland.
Did you just conjure a golem? That email and Brooke's response made me think of a riddle. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
What's a mansplainer's favorite Christmas movie?
Love Actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. This isn't a riddle, but I just want you to know that master sheep are, in fact, real. I'm from Iceland, and within our breed of sheep, we have a specific subset of...
They're from Scotland.
Iceland.
Iceland.
Oh. We're from a specific subset of sheep called Forstufi, or leadership sheep, or master sheep. They tend to be wethers, and they have a few very specific traits. They lead other sheep. They're tall and lean. They're very intelligent and excellent sense of weather and navigation. Aaron, like you. They've historically been an incredibly important part of Icelandic sheep herding because there are many examples of Forstjufi saving their flocks from bad weather by navigating their way back to safety. Forstjufi, I'm pronouncing that wrong, refusing to leave the sheep shed when a storm was coming, even situations when they saved the lives of humans as well as their flock. Because of their leanness, they've never been considered good to eat, but they've been considered very valuable and important to have at least one of them so you can have someone to lead your flock and save it from danger. There's less of a use for them now with technological advances. Damn you, Obama. But they've been an important part of Icelandic farming for centuries, and they aren't any other countries known to have sheep who know similar traits. Sorry this is long, and it's not a riddle. I just thought it was an interesting fact. I love that. We mentioned master sheep casually, and someone was like, those are real. Master sheep are real.
I want our listeners this week to either make the cover or the first page of a graphic novel about a master sheep being a leader and saving the day.
Should be Halo based.
Mm-hmm. Master sheeping.
Well, my favorite part about Master Sheep is Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, Brooke.
Thank you for having me here.
Addle, open your wallet and give Brooke $100 for that joke.
Fine.
Why are you opening my wallet?
Why is your wallet in his pocket?
I have that.
Yikes. Where are my hands? Brooke, thank you so much for joining us on the episode today. Do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Just come see World News Tonight at IO Theater on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock and 10:30. And then other than that, buy the new Jackbox Party Pack 5. I also am a writer for Jackbox Games. So please buy that party pack because I wrote a lot of that content and it's real fun.
What's your favorite of those Jackbox games?
All of them. I genuinely can't because they all bring a little something different to the table that's really fun.
I just played Drawful for the first time.
I didn't do that one.
Do not play Drawful.
No, that's really fun. That's fun one.
That's an Arne Niekamp original.
Yeah. Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. I'm glad. I hate that I brought it up.
I think it's also the most popular one.
It was very fun. Yeah. What's the other
Quiplash?
Quiplash, I feel like, is maybe
Quiplash
the most
is my
popular.
Favorite.
I've played that one the most.
Yeah, I've played that one the most, too. Quiplash
out
is
of anyone
fun.
Here.
Well, I don't know if it's the most popular, but it's the most fun if you're playing with people who are, like, fun. Because I've played with people where it's, like, the prompt is, what's something that you would have for dinner and feel bad afterwards, and someone's like, too many sweets. You're like, what are we doing? Like, people try and genuinely answer it like it's some sort of like.
I played Quiplash a couple weekends ago with my girlfriend and my friend and his wife. And it literally
was it at her wedding?
It was at her wedding. Literally every other answer that everyone submitted had something to do with JPC's clown ass. And those always won. And then when I started playing along and putting in JPC's clown ass, mine never got voted.
Oh, so they could tell.
They could tell. It was desperation. Your
clown ass. I want to, for my plug, I want to put it out there.
Okay.
For your girlfriend, Mariah, open invite to come on the show and burn your clown ass. There's a tweet about this. Where she said she was going to burn her clown ass. Open invite.
She would absolutely burn my clown ass.
Oh. I've also never seen you and her in a room together, and I know you have a wig that looks a lot like her hair. So I just want to double check.
Well, I told you we can't be in the same room together until we're Christian married.
Right.
And every time I see Mariah, she's always dabbing on the graves of my haters.
Oh, wait, guys, here's Mariah. I think I see her right now. Well, hello.
Hello.
Please go to TeePublic, search Hey Riddle Riddle. Please check out some of our merch. We have some new merch going on. So please check that out, buy it for the holidays. And you can also follow me at Adel Rafai. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Hey Riddle Riddle, on Instagram, on Facebook. And, of course, email us and you might be featured in the next mailbag. You can email us at,
HRRpodcast@gmail.com. And like I said, you could also, if you have fun Master Sheep facts, email those in as well. We've got people listening from all over the world. And if we say some stupid bullshit that you have more information on, I personally love to hear
Here's
that stuff.
Here's pie in the sky dreams. Like, I don't know if this will happen next year. I don't know if this will happen in 10 years. I don't know if this will ever happen. If JPC, Aaron, and myself could get sweaters knitted from the wool of Master Sheep, I will do anything to own that and have that story as I traverse the world.
I will also do anything for that except pay for it. In any way.
Oh, God. Did I make it sound like I was going to pay for it? I just gave my last $100 to Brooke.
Ching ching. Also, when you said pie in the sky, it made me think of 9-year-old Aaron
scooping up clouds.
Some cloud for her pie.
Can I have more clouds in my hot cocoa? Oh, Aaron,
get a
dumb
job.
What makes me think of 9-year-old Aaron is my Twitter presence. So if you're interested in the ramblings of a child,
no, I was never that cruel.
Smooth segue.
Follow me at JPSoFly if you want to see pictures of my dog Spaghetti. You can follow me on Instagram at Shark Barkman. I will only ever post spaghetti pictures until I die. Aaron, what are you plugging?
Follow my Instagram, AaronKeef10.
I thought it was Smooth Operator.
Oh, that would
smooth
be really cool.
Smooth Operator.
That's not my last name. It's my cousin's last name.
I only use my cousin's last name.
And I'll post about shows and such there.
Well, they're there.
They're there.
Aaron, oh boy, I don't have anything
Aaron,
for this.
Several planets have an atmosphere. Some have clouds, or what you would call Cool Whip. What's the biggest planet with clouds made of Cool Whip?
Jupiter.
Bye
Jupiter.
Forever.
Jupiter, not forever. Well.
Created by Adol Refai. Starring Aaron Keith and John Patrick Cullen. KJ Snyder did the editing. And Marty Parrish did the music. Logo created by Emily Cardamus and Emily DeForest.
That was a HeadGum podcast.